with God and he would listen. And in fact, he's willing to listen. He doesn't just hear, he longs to hear. The reason we have confidence that we can come to God in prayer, we saw, was that righteousness that comes from God is given to us. And we have absolute acceptance in his sight through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we saw also that not only the basis of prayer is the righteousness of Christ, but also we saw that prayer is basically communication toward God in response to him first approaching us with his word. We respond to him speaking to us. And now in this psalm we see what motivates the psalmist in prayer, what should motivate us. And one of the primary things that motivates you and I in prayer, and this morning as I was taking detour after detour to get here, and I was running about 15 minutes later than what I thought I would, I was motivated to prayer. I felt the sat-nav was just redirecting me back in the direction that the detours were turning me away from. And so as the pressure built up, my prayers were increasing. And therefore what we find, as with the psalmists, that we are driven and motivated in prayer by our sense of utter dependence upon him. In temporal matters like this morning, or eternal matters, our eternal well-being. Out of a need of driven by trials, prayer is definitely not a theoretical exercise or a mere ritual. Spurgeon said that through trials we discover what it means that God is a rock that you can be held up on and look down on what is going around you and threatening you. God is a solid and dependable rock. And that's only discovered when we read those words that God is a rock. We discover what it means when God comes to our rescue and we find security in him. Then what we read on the page becomes real to us and it motivates us in our prayers. Certainly it's motivating David as he faces trials. Verse 2, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Verse 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. And verse 5, he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He'll conceal me under the cover of his tent. He'll lift me up high upon a rock, safe and secure, so to speak. This is certainly not the words of someone who's carrying out prayer as a religious obligation. This is a heartfelt response from David toward God as God brings him into a situation out of David's control. Hardship, brothers and sisters, in our daily lives, hardship reveals God as a saviour who's not just a rescuer from hell on the day of our death, but is our rescuer and our saviour, one who comes to our rescue in our daily lives. We read in verses 7 and 8, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me, answer me. You've said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help. Brothers and sisters, it's not just in the pages of Scripture we read God saying, come to me, pray to me, ask me. I'm here. I'm commanding you to depend on me in prayer. It's not just in the pages of Scripture where God is saying, seek my face. It's when he puts us in situations of desperation. God is tapping us on the shoulder and saying, seek my face, seek me. I'm here for this very situation that I'm putting you through. We read also in verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. More dependable than even our parents is our God. More caring, more watchful of every moment of our lives. From the time we're in the cradle till the time we die, God is an ongoing, caring parent toward us. 13 and 14, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. And, brothers and sisters, that's the hardest bit, isn't it? Waiting. Being made to wait. Not always does God instantly, in 5 minutes, hear your prayer. Thankfully, the Lord heard my prayer this morning and got me here before the service. He's very gracious. But sometimes he causes us to have to learn to be patient and to not lose faith. The psalmist knows from experience God doesn't always answer prayer straight away. Rather, he makes us wait. And so the psalmist says, look, there are times where you're going to have to wait. But don't give up. Wait upon the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. There's another motivation we find in this psalm to fuel our prayers, and they fuel David's prayers. And that's simply the beauty and the wonder of God himself. Put aside the situation that's putting us under pressure to pray, there is also another inspiration to pray, and that's simply God himself. Verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, just to simply gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That is, inquire about the gospel, the good news of acceptance of a sinner by a merciful God through a sacrifice at God's cost. Brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, address each other as more than simply Roger or Mildred. They go beyond just naming the person. They use words like dear, honey, sweetheart, terms of endearment. But those terms don't reach the dizzy heights of what the Bible says about God. He has more than just a name, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Israel who keeps covenant. He goes way beyond the descriptions of God, go beyond simply a name. Scripture is full of prayers describing the beauty, the wonder, the majesty of God's being. God is the exalted King. He's a mighty fortress. He's the Ancient of Days from all eternity. He's our rock. And Jesus is our righteous judge. He's our advocate. I once heard in a sermon by R.C. Sproul, he said, could you imagine you go into a court case and you know that you're guilty, but you're hoping that your lawyer will get you through. And you're sitting there with your lawyer sitting there, but the judge's seat is empty. And the lawyer says, I've just got to nip out for a moment. And you're sitting there worried. And then lo and behold, everyone's called to stand and in comes the judge and it's your lawyer. What a beautiful illustration that is. Jesus is the one who will judge the living and the dead. But Jesus is also described as your advocate, as your lawyer, as your counsellor. What confidence we find in those titles, those descriptions that are real about our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. He is supreme, head and king of all creation. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this congregation. This congregation means more to him than to any of us, because he is the shepherd over you and I. You are his precious sheep. He shed his blood for you. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lamb of God, the Lamb who fulfilled all the sacrifices of the temple David is filled in wonder about with regard to God, just by understanding the meaning of the temple. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, verse 4, and to inquire in or about his temple. Reading through the Psalms and the prayers of the Bible, such as this one, is rich and rewarding for our vocabulary, for our knowledge and appreciation of God. It educates our faith. And the more we know about God, there's more reason to love him. The more you know him, the more you love him, the more drawn you are to him and attracted to him. And prayer is a natural response as well. Brothers and sisters, sermons simply about God himself have their own application. You could preach a sermon just on the character and the person of God and leave out pretty much all application. Because if people have captured what God is like more fully, then instantly that is applied in their lives. Instantly that brings a response by the Spirit of life-changing motivation. I could recommend to you a wonderful book that really had an impact on my life, and in Bible studies it has a study guide with it, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And as you go through each of the chapters dwelling on attributes and the nature of God and his person and so forth, just going through that is such a life-changing and enriching experience. And of course, it just automatically fuels your prayers, because you respond to God you're getting to know more and more in Christ. Finally, another motivation for prayer, and it's really linked to what I've just said, is just simply praising his attributes with thanksgiving. And that strengthens our faith. The more we praise God for what he's like and thank him for what he's done in the past, the more our faith is strengthened. Because if he did that, if he's like that, and he's done these things in the past, well, surely he's consistent and he'll keep doing things like that in the future and in the present. Titles of God could, as I said before, be simply means of praising God. But that's not often the case. David's been in danger, and yet he feels defended and fearless. Why? Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's in the context of invaders. And he calls out to God, who is the helper of the helpless. Psalm 68 verse 5 says, God is a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows. This is the God in his holy habitation. God is one who delights to defend and stand up for those in desperate need of him. And then in the context of forgiveness, we read in Psalm 85 verse 4, Restore us, O God of our salvation. Cause your indignation toward us to cease. Then there's a call in Psalm 90 of a reversal of calamities. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. There's the calling upon God in the Psalms for him to right a wrong, for him to right an injustice, rather than us taking matters into our own hands and sinfully taking revenge. Psalm 94 verse 2, rise up, O judge of all the earth, render recompense to the proud. Then in Acts chapter 4, we read that famous prayer. The disciples, the apostles have been warned not to preach the gospel, not to proclaim Jesus Christ. They've been set free after an arrest and warned not to proclaim this Jesus as Messiah. And when the congregation hears this, when they heard it, Acts chapter 4 verse 24, they come to God with descriptions of him as an introduction to the prayer for help. When they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. What's God being the Lord of all the earth and the creator of the sea and everything in it? What's that got to do with being in trouble? Well, of course, it's coming to God and acknowledging he is in control of that very situation. He who created all things. And the list, brothers and sisters, could go on and on, page after page in the Bible. In times of sorrow and grief, God is the God of all comfort. In times of joy, he's our strength and our song as we celebrate. When we're discouraged, God is our hope. And most of all, in Christ, God is our adoptive Father, the Father who adopted us. And when we name Jesus as our great high priest, that goes beyond a title. Naming Jesus as my great high priest and yours is a motivation to come with confidence to him who sacrificed his life for us to come to him. Come to him for grace, for he has known our frailties. He has known what it is like to be in weakness as a human being, as us. And yet now he is the mighty high priest who dispenses grace in our time of need. Let's take time to go through the scriptures. We see in Acts where the apostles said, we will devote ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. Prayer and the word go hand in hand. The more you read your Bible, the more your prayers, my prayers, are fueled and educated and strengthened. Let us look in the scriptures for more rich descriptions of our wonderful God. And this will grant us more perseverance in prayer when our patience is tried. And then we can do what the psalmist says when time is ticking by and nothing's happening. In answer to our prayers, as we're strengthened to know God more and more, we can heed these words and carry them out. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Shall we pray? Our God, we confess we're very weak when it comes to prayer so often. We fail to give thanksgiving. We sometimes only come to you in times of trouble on a regular basis. And so, our Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would continue to strengthen and encourage us. May your word jump out from the page as it reveals more and more of you and how you deal with sinners who've gone before us in the past and have experienced you as their great shepherd. Lord, be merciful to us. Teach us to pray and motivate us to pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.